I'm Matt Bush, the news director for WIPR, filling in for Tom Hall today on Midday. Flooding risks and funding cuts made big news across Maryland this week. In June, Governor Wes Moore applied for emergency funds from FEMA to assist parts of western Maryland recovering from damaging flash floods that occurred in May. This week, FEMA denied the governor's request, stating the assistance is not warranted. In a social media post yesterday, Moore said they would appeal the decision, noting that it met the requirements set by FEMA.
It's an insult to Marylanders and the community still suffering in the aftermath of this storm. And this isn't about politics. This is about standing with our people.
The Trump administration approved disaster relief requests this week for Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, and West Virginia, all states that backed the president in last year's election. Maryland did not, though the two counties that would receive relief in this case, Allegheny and Garrett, were among the most pro-Trump counties in Maryland in last year's election. Out on the Eastern Shore, the town of Crisfield is in a long-time battle with the dangers of rising sea waters. The town may have more fish and crabs than people, but the recent loss of a multi-million-dollar FEMA grant places the residents and the sea life there in great jeopardy. Adam Willis is the environment and climate reporter for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us now to share more insight on his coverage of Crisfield. Adam, thanks for joining us here in studio.
Good to be here. Thanks a lot for having me.
So first, let's tell us about Crisfield. Where is it? What's it like? And what is its history, which really plays into the challenges it's facing right now?
It's got a really interesting history. So Crisfield's a small town, I believe the southernmost town in Maryland, on the Eastern Shore, about 2.5-3 hours from Baltimore. There's about 2,500 people that live there today. But if you go back to sort of the post-Civil War era, Crisfield was sort of a booming town. There are something like 25,000 residents there. It was a huge seafood producing town, became known as the seafood capital of the world. I get into this in the story, but there were so many oysters basically shucked in the area in the 1800s that much of the town is literally built on oyster shells, that sort of remnant of its seafood legacy. But today it's kind of declined with the Maryland seafood industry, the Chesapeake seafood industry, and it's also seeing some of the most sort of pronounced effects of rising seas. The town is kind of sinking into the Chesapeake Bay at the same time that the bay is rising.
And that leads to a lot of flooding. So tell us, how difficult is the town's flooding and how often does it happen?
It happens routinely. I mean, so there's a group of researchers from some local universities and the Nature Conservancy who have tracked flooding in the town. I think they looked at flooding in 2021 and they saw flooding from surges in sea levels at a level of 1.5 feet on 88 different days in 2021. What that basically translates to is you have, you know, standing water in a lot of different parts of the town. That is only going to get more routine, scientists expect, under climate change. They have looked at this group of researchers looked at the possibility for 2.5-foot sea level surges in the town, which basically, if you look at mapping, covers a lot of the town. You have a lot of the town that's going to be under sort of standing water. What they predict is that 2.5 sea level surge would happen just at high tide every single day, as soon as 2050 in Crisfield.
So that's in 2 decades, the town would be routinely flooded every day.
Every day at high tide, yeah. Sometime between 2050 and 2080 is what they expect.
So they've been trying to put together a mitigation plan for this flooding, and they've been relying on some FEMA grants for this. Take us through what happened with what their flood mitigation plan is and how the FEMA grant was helping with that.
Sure. So they last summer, Crisfield was awarded a grant through FEMA, a $36 million grant, which, to put into perspective, the annual budget for Crisfield, I think, is $4 million. So this is kind of an unheard of amount of money for a town of Crisfield's size. $36 million to raise bulkheads, erect new bulkheads, install flood berms, rebuild wetlands, raise roads all around the town to essentially create a fortress, a seawall around the whole town that would protect the town from 5 feet of sea level surge, which is higher even than the Superstorm Sandy surge that kind of devastated Crisfield in 2012. So they got an initial phase one grant, $36 million for this project. They had actually just finished applying for a second round of funding, which would have essentially gotten them to covering to, to cover the cost for the rest of the project, which is around $80 million, to surround the entire town, also through FEMA funding primarily.
So what happened to the grant now that we have a changeover in administrations? And we'll get into how the Trump administration views FEMA in a second. But, you know, what happened with the grant now with the changeover of presidential administrations?
They eliminated the whole program nationally. So this was several billion dollars across the country. Wiped out from the program, the program itself was eliminated several billion dollars across the country, and Chris Field's funding was among that. So that means this $36 million that they'd been promised no longer exists. They cannot tap that anymore. And then their hope of getting sort of the secondary phase funding also through the same program basically dashed because the program doesn't exist anymore.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Matt Bush sitting in for Tom Hall. Joining me right now is Baltimore Banner reporter Adam Willis. We're talking about the town of Crisfield on the Eastern Shore. You've talked to residents out there. What have they been telling you? And we have a clip of some of them to share with our listeners.
Sure. I mean, Crisfield's a really interesting town politically, and we can get deeper into that if you want. But I think it's divided in some ways politically. I mean, you have some voters there who are Democrats, and you also have an entrenched Trump supporting population there. And I think thinking on this grant, from what I found, sort of falls along those kind of partisan lines. So the mayor there is a Democrat. She's very concerned about the loss of this funding. She told me, you know, without this kind of funding or help on this level, a major intervention like this, the town's just not going to be here in a couple of decades. They're essentially gone. On the other side of the coin, there's quite a few Trump-supporting residents there. Most of the town supported Trump in the last election. And the folks I talked to kind of on that side of the political spectrum weren't too concerned about it. They think they've sort of learned how to live with flooding in Crisfield and don't necessarily feel like they need the help from the federal government.
And let's hear from those right now.
But I think he's doing a lot of good for the economy. So we do have to sacrifice. No. And I didn't like the fact that I'm part of the sacrifice, but what's the difference if a man goes out on the front line?
Here's the whole deal.
Even if it means that, you know, 70 years from now,
that
the land we're sitting on is gone. And
yeah, if it means for the better. And I do think there are a lot of things that are happening in the country that are for the better. There is some sacrifice. You know, he's a one man, and he might be making some oversights.
Mm-hmm.
We might be the forgotten right now, but we've been forgotten for a very long time. Trump didn't start that. I will go on record with anybody saying that.
So, I mean, that kind of feeds into what we've been talking about here. It's not just the Eastern Shore and the western part of Maryland. You know, both these parts of the state not getting money from FEMA, and the Trump administration, you know, kind of part of Project 2025, is looking to eliminate FEMA. Though once they've gotten in office, it seems like it's maybe changed a bit. There are certain areas benefiting and certain areas aren't from it. And in this case, this means Crisfield's not getting any money.
That's right. I think they're basically left in a position where, you know, they're talking about ways to cobble together funding for partial mitigation measures. There's some state funding that's been committed to much smaller amounts, but state funding that's been committed to helping with flooding there. As far as I understand, that funding is still going forward. So they're hoping, you know, that they can piece together different smaller steps, but it's very hard to find funding on the level of $80 million for this entire project for a town of Crisfield's size to do the kind of intervention that both the leadership of the town and the scientists think is actually needed to prevent longer-term flooding there.
And again, that is a five-foot-high seawall all around the town? I mean, what does that look like, I guess, essentially?
Yeah, so what it effectively forms is a five-foot seawall. It's going to look different in different parts of the town. It's a very small town, so it's a relatively small circumference that we're talking about here. In parts of it, along the water, it would mean like a bulkhead, basically, which, you know, looks very much like a wall against the ocean. In other parts, on the interior of the town, it just looks like raising up roads. So you raise up a road, say 3 feet, it prevents water from coming in from sort of outlying areas into the town. In other parts of the town, it means restoring wetlands so that they are more absorbent, basically. When the tide does come in, the environment naturally sort of soaks up the water and prevents it from invading the town. It just sort of depends on which part of the town you're talking about geographically.
How about some other towns on the Chesapeake Bay? There are so many. Every town that seems to have, you know, big or small, has had some sort of climate impact. You know, in Annapolis, right down the hill from the State House, they have issues at the city dock to places like, you know, Smith and Tangiers Islands. Everyone out there that's on the bay, borders the bay, they're having issues with climate change. So what if some other towns that are in similar situation like Crisfield, how have they fared and what have they done?
Sure. I can't speak too specifically to all the interventions and measures they've taken. I know that there were other towns in the state that were that stood to get grants through this FEMA program. One of them was Cambridge. I think Cambridge, Maryland. I believe it was mitigation measures for sort of flooding at their wastewater treatment plant, if I'm remembering correctly. Some of it was going to come to Baltimore. Actually, there's the the Reimagine Middle Branch project in South Baltimore is a huge wetland restoration project in South Baltimore. They stood to get, I believe, around $30 million through this program, also wiped out. But you're correct. I mean, this is not an issue unique to Crisfield on the Eastern Shore. You have places like Smith Island, Tangier Island, Deal Island, all places that through combinations of rising seas and erosion, essentially, sinking land, are kind of washing away into the bay.
And just last question, places like Smith and Tangiers and others that were buying people out of their homes, essentially, to get them to move. Is that on the table here for Crisfield yet?
That's an interesting question. I have not heard that floated. You know, the folks that I talk to want to stay in Crisfield. I don't think that they are, you know, they want to find ways to make this work. And I think that's true for both the people who support the Trump administration and support the decision making here. Their attitude is basically just, we've learned how to live with high tides and water on our roadways. We, you know, one waterman there told me we know which roads to avoid when the tide is high. And so I don't think that folks there want to leave. I have not heard yet the possibility of buyouts, though within a couple of decades, I could very much see that on the table.
That's Adam Willis of the Baltimore Banner here. He's an environment and climate reporter. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
And coming up on Monday, Tom is back, and he focuses on what's sizzling and simmering this summer for What You Got Cooking on Midday. He'll speak with Chef John Shields from Gertrude's Chesapeake Kitchen and Damian Mosley from Black Sauce Kitchen. Fresh Air is up next. They'll reflect on the life of Alan Bergman, a songwriter for notable musicians, including Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Barbara Streisand. Midday's audio engineer is Shania Mapson. Taria Rogers and Sam Burmis-Dawes are the producers, with help from Mallory Pinkard-Pierre. Jessica Bacheen is Midday's intern. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I'm Matt Bush, the news director for WYPR. Sitting in for Tom today, thanks so much for joining us.